Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, football fans. It is time for another Friday night football preview. This is Deb Gans. I'd like to thank BJ for letting me be part of Women's Football Talk Continued. And we are rounding up the IWFL 09 season. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. But first, I would like to do a little chatting about the WFA and where we are with that particular league. Now, we just recently had a week of football, June 13th, a few games the 14th, and I'd like to go through those scores for you, and then we'll maybe look at some predictions. Now, none of these, I can't be held accountable for any of these games because I was unable to have a show last week, and so let's just go through these, and I'll give you some scores. First of all, the Keystone Assault traveled to New Jersey and faced the Titans and won that game 28-6. The Baltimore Burn traveled to Birmingham and beat the Tiger Cats, score 56-6. The Philadelphia Liberty Bells won on a forfeit. The Kentucky Karma lost to the Columbus Comets. Now, you know I've been saying it's going to be hard to beat Karma all season, but the Comets pulled it off. It was 23-8. The Fusion won against the Sizzle there at home in Cleveland, and Cincinnati had to make a short trip there. The score was 36-18. Again, that was in favor of the Cleveland Fusion. The Fort Wayne Flash beat the Toledo Rain 38-0, and the West Michigan Mayhem beat the Dayton Diamonds. Both those games were played, West Michigan was at home, and that was the score 55-0. We have the Jacksonville Dixie Blues defeating the New Orleans Blaze, and that was a score 42-0. So we had a few donuts in the league this week. The Gulf Coast Riptide traveled to Memphis to play the Bells, and Riptide won that 54-20. We have the Minnesota Machine defeating the Iowa Thunder there in Michigan. They were at home. I'm sorry, not Michigan, Minnesota, and that was 20-0. The St. Louis Slam pummeled the Phoenix there. The Missouri Phoenix traveled to St. Louis Slam Stadium, and then it was 51-0 that particular game. The Sabercats forfeited to the Lone Star Mustangs. The California Lynx lost to the Las Vegas Showgirls in Vegas. That was 28-20, so that was a pretty close game, possibly the better game of the week. And then the Phoenix Prowlers won against the Marana She Devils. That again was due to a forfeit. Now we have quite a few games coming up here in this league, and it looks to me like Liberty Bells are going to have an easy time of it. They're going to play the Tiger Cats. The Keystone Assault should beat the Cyclones, the Connecticut Cyclones. The Titans play Baltimore. And let me see if I can find my statistics on that. I don't know if I have, let me see. We have the comment, no, the Titans. I think the Titans will probably take that one. The Titans so far are 4-3. And then the Burn are, let's see where the Burn are. I can't even find the Burn on my paper here. 5-2. Oh, no, I might have that wrong. Yeah, it looks like the Baltimore Burn are ahead of the Philadelphia, of the New Jersey Titans, and that's in the National Conference in Region 1, which is the Northeast Division. So that's an actual conference division matchup, so the Burn and the Titans. So that ought to go to the Burn. We have the Comets playing the Sizzle. And I believe the Comets should fairly easy take the Sizzle. The Comets lead the Mid-Atlantic Division, and the Sizzle are down there toward the bottom anyway. The Pittsburgh Force will face the Kentucky Karma, And the Karma are 4-2, and the Force are 2-5, and they're again in the same division, so that game ought to go to the Karma. Fort Wayne Flash will play the Dayton Diamonds. I believe the Flash should take that one, but let me look here. The Dayton Diamonds, yeah, they're pretty far down, and Fort Wayne is ahead of them, so that game should go to the Flash. The Indiana Speed should probably beat the Toledo Reign fairly easily. The Gulf Coast Riptide play the Emerald Coast Barracudas, and the Gulf Coast Riptide is up towards the top. They're right behind the Dixie Blues. That's in the Southeast Division, and the Emerald Coast Barracudas are at the bottom of that pack, so they will likely fall. Now, the Memphis Belles are in the middle of that Southeast Division there. This is the American Conference now, and the Jacksonville Dixie Blues lead that division, so I believe the Dixie Blues will have a pretty easy time against the Belles. That's the Memphis Belles. Iowa Thunder will be playing the Kansas City Storm, and the Iowa Thunder should take that one. They're ahead of the Storm in the that's the Midwest Division. The Minnesota Machine are facing the Missouri Phoenix, and the Machine again are ahead of them. The Machine are 3-3, while the Phoenix are 0-6. The Mustangs are going to play the Cyclones. The Mustangs are 5-2. The Cyclones are 2-4, so we're looking for the Mustangs to win that one. Outlaws will be playing. Well, they'll probably not be playing. They're supposed to be facing the Sabercats, but that's a forfeit. The Phoenix Prowlers will play against the Vegas Showgirls, and that will probably go to the Showgirls. The Lynx will have a forfeit win, and the Fort Wayne Flash are on here twice, but I imagine that's going to be the Cyclones, I think. No, the Cyclones are playing up there. I'm not sure who Indiana. You got the Indiana Speed playing two games this week, as well as the Fort Wayne Flash. We got a little misprint on the internet there, but so we're looking for a few easy wins this week, but hopefully the Baltimore Burn and the Titans will have a pretty good game, and then the Kentucky Karma. I think the Kentucky Karma and the Pittsburgh Force may be a good game. Probably the Karma going to take that pretty easily, but the Gulf Coast Riptide, that probably the Memphis Belles and the Dixie Blues. That might be one of the better games, but definitely the Burn and the Titans. That's the matchup of the week. Now the Assault are probably, I think they're facing the Cyclones, which is a forfeit win for them. So they'll definitely pull that one out. So moving into some of the team statistics here, we've got the Dixie Blues leading the team offense chart, and I think that's because they have the highest average per game of 426 yards per game. The total offensive leader would be, let me look here, 25, I think it might be the Assault. The Assault have accumulated 2,505 yards, and they are followed fairly closely by the Mayhem, and then the Belles, and then it looks like the Slam, the Burn, and then the Liberty Belles. So, looking like we've got quite a few teams over the 2,000 mark. A total of, let's see, the Fusion are over 2, the Comets are over 2, the Belles, the Mayhem, the Assault, the Riptide, the Liberty Belles, the Burn, the Slam, and then the Speed. And the Thunder are getting very close to the 2,000 mark. So we've got quite a few teams that are racking up some offensive yards. When we look at the rushing, the Burn are ahead of the rushing column. They average almost 400 yards per game, 369 yards a game. The Liberty Belles are at 336 with a total of 2,016 yards. And then they're followed by, it looks like the Belles. So the Liberty Belles are followed by the Belles, and it's 1,921 there, and they're averaging about 274 yards of rushing and that's per game. Now, passing, the team that's definitely ahead in passing would be the Mayhem. And when we're looking at that, you're looking at Jody Marquardt, and I'm not sure if I'm saying Marquardt probably. And she's been playing for a while there. She's got a total of 1,000 yards, and she averages, let's see, well, her rating is, what is her rating? 107, but she's made 58 pass completions out of 115 attempts. Her percentage is 50%. Liz Lacey has a slam, has a little bit higher percentage. Ella Williams has the highest percentage, I believe, as far as those that are up there at the top, but they are not nearly as high as Marquardt with total yardage. Now, Rachel Fisher, she plays for the Assault, and the Keystone Assault have quite a few yards. They're almost 800, just under 800. Rushing, the leaders for individual rushing, the person with the highest number of yards is Stephanie Walker. Now, she plays for the Burn. She's had 78 carries, and she's got 1,026 yards. Lakeisha Johnson of the Riptide has 1,023. And then Jessica Plunkett of the Bells has 1,019. Jennifer Bowling of the Thunder has 1,003. You get down, Mary Rose Roach is in there. Denisha Garrison. Who else is in there? Leah Cassis of the Speed. And Sedona Hurd of the Outlaws. And Heather Anderson of the Flash. So we've got quite a few players that are getting up there close to the, well, around, between 800 and 1,000 yards. So a lot of strong rushers. Leading the receiving yards, I'm just having a little problem with my dog. I apologize for that. You know, when we got a bully, he's pretty stubborn. He's just going to let you know whatever he wants to let you know. But I'm not sure what the heck he's doing there. But let's look at some of the some of the catches here. As far as the receiving leader, Danielle Doherty, she's leading both receiving yards and receiving catches. And she's got 540 yards. She's had 27 receptions. So she's having a heck of a receiving year. There, I got the door closed. I might have a little piece of quiet for the dogs now. Sorry about that. It doesn't take but a leaf to get them going sometimes. Okay, so let's see. We've got Corey Young has almost 500 yards. She plays for the Assault. Now, Danielle Doherty is a Mayhem player. Corey Young plays for the Assault. She's got 497 yards. Virginia Hicks of the Speed has 466. The Dixie Blues player, Ishika Lay, has 340 yards. And then we move over to some defensive statistics. Leading as far as tackles is Sharon Tatum. She plays for the Bells. Jennifer Plummer, we've mentioned her before. Cindy Pearson, those two girls have been in the defensive stats quite often. Jennifer Plummer plays for the Mayhem. She's had 80 tackles. Cindy Pearson for the Thunder has had 71 tackles. And then we've got Kathy Ferrari for the Force with 66. Veronica Rucker from the Fusion, she's had 58, and Kelly Kozlin of the Slam has had 56. Four other players are over 50. Cindy Taft, also of the Thunder, has 53. Tiffany Schulberger of the Comets has 51, and then Danielle Unique with the Fusion has 50, as well as Mary Lucci. She's playing with the Assault, and she's got 50. So we've got quite a few players that are racking up some tackles. You've got Melissa Grimes for the Thunder with 22 tackles for a loss. When we look at sacks, that statistic is also racked up by the Thunder. Jennifer Hirakawa has 15 sacks, followed by Mariah Mulkerman Allen, I guess, of the Speed, and she's got 7 sacks. When we look at interceptions, that statistic is led by the Riptide's Jamie Freeman. She's had 4 interceptions. Rochelle Wolf of the Speed has had 4, and Rachel Stoka of the Thunder with 4 interceptions. So we have quite a few statistics that are easily read there in the WFA. Went through predictions. I did not tell you the standings specifically. Let me go through that very quickly. In the National Conference, the Northeast Division, the Liberty Bells are still undefeated, 7 wins to 0 losses, and they're followed by the Baltimore Burn, 5-2, and then the New Jersey Titans, and they're 4-3, and then the Keystone Assault. That's a pretty heavy-hitting division there. Then we go to the Central Division of the National Conference. We've got the West Michigan Mayhem. They're 7-0, and then it drops down pretty quickly. The Speed are 4-1. The Flash are 3-3. And then the Rain having a tough season, as well as the Dayton Diamonds. When we go down to the Mid-Atlantic Division, the National Conference again, we've got the Comets. That's the Columbus Comets. They're 6-0, so they're undefeated so far. The Kentucky Karma are 4-2. And then we have the Cleveland Fusion at 3-4, the Pittsburgh Force 2-5, and the Cincinnati Sizzle having a tough season with 1-5. Over in the American Conference, the Southeast Division, we've got the Jacksonville Dixie Blues leading that Southeast Division. They're 6-0. The Gulf Coast Riptide are 5-1. The Memphis Belles are 4-3. New Orleans, they're having a tough season, 1-6. And then the Emerald Coast Barracuda is an even tougher season. They're 0-6. The Midwest Division of the American Conference, the St. Louis Slam are 6-0. The Iowa Thunder, 4-2. Minnesota Machine, they're even, 3-3. Kansas City Storm, 4-2. And a tough season for the Missouri Phoenix. They are 0-6. The Austin Outlaws are leading the Southwest Division of the American Conference. Austin is 5-1. The Lone Star Mustangs are 5-2. Those two teams have played head-to-head a number of times, and it's always a good matchup. Very close games there. The Cyclones are 2-4. The Sabercats, they're one of the teams that's been forfeiting. The Vegas Showgirls are 6-0 in the Pac Southwest Division of the American Conference. The Lynx are 4-2. The Phoenix Prowlers are 3-4. The She Devils are forfeiting their games. So we are looking at some fairly close divisions. And the top couple divisions the top teams of almost every division are undefeated, so that's setting them on top pretty easily, but there in that Southwest Division, we've got some close matchups. Looking forward at what we're going to see when we get to the playoffs, let me see if I can get to the right page here. I'm going to go live on this part as far as I don't have my statistics pulled here. We'll see if I can get back to what I need to. When we're looking at the schedule, when we get this doesn't have a published schedule of the games. I was going to give you a little preview of what we're looking at for the playoffs. Let me see if I can get to the right spot. We get the playoffs. That starts July the 11th and continues July 25th. And then the championship is August 15th. That will be in New Orleans. And what we will have are regional teams playing off, and it looks like we're going to have 16 teams in the playoffs. So as soon as I can get a little bit of information about how that's formulating, I'll pass that along. But we are looking at three weeks of playoffs once we get to the July game. Now, as far as the regular season schedule, I think we've got this week is week 10, and I believe got one more week out. Next week will be the last regular season week of matchups. So in the WFA, we are getting very close to playoffs. That brings us to the IWFL, and we're going to get a little bit more time on the IWFL. Lots of things happening there. We have made it to the playoffs. We have quite a few of the statistical leaders that have made it to the All-Stars. I do have a few things to say in regard to that. So we'll be talking about All-Stars. We will be talking about the games that happened, as well as what it's looking like for the playoffs. So let's go ahead and start with the IWFL, the Independent Women's Football League. Now, week 10, we had quite a few games. The Los Angeles Amazons traveled up to Sacramento, and that was a very, very close game. I actually watched that game, and the Sacramento Sirens held the Los Angeles Amazons scoreless the entire second half, but were unable to convert a last-minute field goal. And when I say last-minute, I mean it was last-minute. The snap was a little high, and so they did not make that field goal. They ended the first half with a pretty dynamic, at least a 40, probably 45-yard field goal there to rack up 3 points going into halftime, and they just never looked back. The Amazons were unable to score. In fact, they went four and out like at least three times in the second half. So that was a really close game. And because of that, that has put the Amazons considerably lower in the ratings, and instead of having a home team advantage, they will travel to Kansas City. Now, I've got my opinion about that. Nothing against the Kansas City Tribe. They happen to be one of my favorite teams. I've been watching them all season. But I just think it's a little tough to believe that based on ratings alone, we would have an undefeated team traveling and being on the road for the playoffs just because of the way the teams are laid out and the country's laid out. But anyway, that's my personal opinion. Back to the matchups through the week, the Montreal Blitz and the Holyoke Hurricanes. That was a score of 2-0. The California... That, in fact, that's probably a forfeit. I think when it's 2-0, it's a forfeit, but I'm not sure on that, which would mean that the Locomotion and the Nightmare. I'm not sure about that either. You'd think I'd know. It's a blonde thing and maybe a fossil thing. I don't know if it's age or blonde. But anyway, the SoCal Breakers played the Modesto Maniacs, and the Breakers won that 21-6. Clarksville Fox played the Iowa Crush, and that was in Clarksville, and the Crush were defeated 12-22. Chicago Force played the Detroit Demolition, and it looks like the Force are back on their game. They beat the Demolition 6-26. You will remember that the Force lost to the Demolition earlier in the season, and that really hurt them and nearly knocked them out of the playoffs. It didn't really do much to advance Detroit, but it certainly was a blow to Chicago. Now, they've had a few injuries, as happens through the season, but let me tell you which week that was. They lost. That was probably like week 5 or 6 or so. It was May 16th, and they lost by 2 points. So they avenged that loss. 26-6. So we got the Dallas Diamonds beating the Houston Energy 76-7. Now, I remember back in the day in the WPFL when the Houston Energy were the team to beat, and I tell you that the Diamonds had their mark set. There was a target on the back of the Energy. I mean, the Diamonds even printed up T-shirts about getting the ring the next year, but now the Diamonds have turned things around, and it's a rebuilding year for the Houston Energy, so Diamonds took that game quite easily. As the D.C. Divas easily defeated the Philadelphia Firebirds, the score of that game was 63 and the Donuts. The Miami Fury punished the Punishers from Palm Beach. That was a 53 to a Donut. It's tough to see these Donuts here where we have teams just totally getting blown out. Happens a lot more in the WFA, but we really need to consider some something to get that taken care of. Somehow we need to figure out how we can raise the level of play just a titch in some of these games. But anyway, the Jersey Justice played the Erie Illusion. The Justice beat the Illusion a score of 36-16. Seattle Majestics hosted the Tucson Monsoon and won 55-0. The Boston Militia hosted the New England Intensity, and that game was 60-0. New York Nemesis played the Connecticut Crushers. The Crushers were crushed, 28-6. Like I said, I think the Nightmare forfeited to the Locomotion. Here is one of the closest games, and I heard from a pretty reliable source that this was an intense game up to the final seconds. The Passion beat the New York Sharks 34-33, so that was that game, along with the Premier game in the West Coast, the Sirens and the Amazons. Those were two of the top games during the week. We had a rematch between the Carolina Phoenix and the Carolina Queens. This time, the Queens were at home, and they took it to the Carolina Phoenix, 20-36. So the Queens won 36-20. The Southern Maine Rebels played the Manchester Freedom, and that game was 60-19. The Shockwave played the Corvallis Pride and won 26-6. The Central PA Vipers beat the Cape Fear Thunder, score 30-6. Kansas City Tribe blew out the Minnesota Vixen 65-0, and the Atlanta Explosion held on and won against the Orlando Mayhem, and that was 19-14. So, looking at our standards in the, what would this be, the Eastern Conference, I guess. What do we have, Eastern Conferences, and let's look quick here at what I'm doing. Yeah, it's the Eastern and the Western Conference. In the Eastern Conference, we've got the Seattle Majestic. In the Eastern Conference, we've got the Boston Militia, still 5-0, and they are, I believe, the leaders of the pack. Let me correct that. We're looking at the DC Divas. DC Divas are 8-0, and they're in the Mid-Atlantic Division, and they have the highest overall rating with a 3.95. The Boston Militia are in second place, still 8-0, but because the Divas have played primarily Tier 1 teams, they've got an extra point or two. Boston is not at 3.91. Then we have the Dallas Diamonds, and they are rated at 3.67, I believe. And then the final team that will be playing in the playoffs is the Pittsburgh Passion, and they are rated at 3.4 overall. So that particular game, we will, the matchups in that series, let's see if I could find where my schedule is so I can just jump right into the schedule. We have the Diamonds will travel to Boston and play the Militia, and Pittsburgh will be traveling to D.C. and play the Divas again. Now, the Divas and the Passion, I believe, have they played? I think, they beat the Pittsburgh Passion the third week of play. So that's going to be basically a rematch, and Pittsburgh is going to be out to get the Divas there. So we'll see how that turns out. So Pittsburgh goes to D.C., and the Diamonds go to Boston. Moving to the Western Division, we are looking at the leaderboard with the Seattle Majestics in first place, and they are 8-0, and they are followed by the Kansas City Tribe, who is the rating for the Majestics is their 2.7. And then the Tribe, they're 2.6. Following that, we have the Chicago Force, and they're 2.5. And then lastly, we have the Los Angeles Amazons at 2.5. Now, I have said a few things about this already, but the Los Angeles Amazons having an 0 season are traveling to play Kansas City, who are 7-1. Now, I realize Kansas City has played one extra Tier 1 game, but it just seems to me like somehow these ratings need to be adjusted slightly. Not against, again, not against the Tribe. I can't say enough good things about the Tribe. In fact, I'm still trying to find a way to get to that game so I can watch that matchup. But, nonetheless, I just think that something's screwy with the ratings when you got an 8-0 team on the road and you've got a 7-1 team hosting. The Force, who is also ahead of the Amazons, will be traveling up to play Seattle. So I'm not really sure. It just seems like a screwy situation to me. Then we can cruise right on into the situation with the Tier 2 playoffs. Now, leading the Tier 2 teams is the Wisconsin Warriors. The Warriors will be hosting the Chattanooga Locomotion. And then we have the Montreal Blitz. They will be hosting the Manchester Freedom. Another matchup between the Carolinas. The Queens will be hosting the Phoenix. And then finally, the New England Intensity will be at home, and the Jersey Justice will travel to them. The Montreal Blitz are 5-3. They've lost all their Tier 1 games, but they're undefeated in their Tier 2 games. The Warriors are atop because they have beaten the Vixens a couple of times, and then they have won all of their Tier 2 games. So, again, that has a lot to do with who the opponents are in the Matthew ratings. The Queens and the Phoenix, those teams are both 7-1, having defeated each other once apiece during the season. The Intensity are 6-2. They won all their Tier 1 games, but they lost. They won all their Tier 2 games and lost their Tier 1 games. The Locomotion are 6-2. They lost one of their Tier 2 games and lost one of their one. They only played one Tier 1 team. The Jersey Justice are 5-3, and the Freedom are 4-4. So they broke even. And those are the teams that have managed to make it into the playoffs for the Tier 2 division, or Tier 2 bracket, I guess I should say. Now, moving in to the statistic portion of, as far as our leaders, as far as individual statistics, got quite a few things to say about this because the All-Stars were released this week. Leading the pack as far as the defense, we have Amber Moffitt-White with 10 interceptions and 23 tackles. Now, Amber on the roster is listed as a wide receiver. And so when they look at the All-Stars that are submitted, they take their primary listing of positions. And so since Amber Moffitt-White is listed first and foremost as a wide receiver, she is an alternate on the All-Star team. Now, when we look at the corners or DBs, you know, we've got some quality DBs. We've got a Militia DB, Oliveri. We got Porter from the Demolition. And then we move all the way down to the Freedom, and that's Pierog, and then Gallo from the Militia, and then Passion have Vasquez, and then the Nighthawks have Sauter, and then finally the Explosion have Dozier. But, you know, I cannot see a way that, no, we don't. That's for the Eastern All-Stars. Where are DBs for the... Okay, we got DBs from the Tribe, and then we've got DBs from the Fuel and the Maniac. So we've only got, we got four DBs for the whole Western Division, and yet the one who's leading the statistics for DBs is not an All-Star, she's an alternate. So that's not right. They need to consider a little bit more information on that. Now, second in defense, for the DBs would be Rusty Sowers, and she's leading as far as receiving as well. She's got quite a few yards receiving. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then we have Brenda Van Kuick. She plays for the Warriors. Rusty Sowers is a Trad player. And then Catherine Hemlock has 5 interceptions. She's got 19 tackles for a loss, so she's got 261 yards. I'm not sure how you do that. That is, gosh, 19 tackles. You'd have to be averaging over 10 yards a loss per tackle. And I'm not sure where Catherine plays. Let me see if I can. I'm not sure. That's going to be a mess. I'm not even going to look at that. So the defensive leaders, as far as interceptions, we got Amber Moffa-White, Rusty Sowers, Brenda Van Kuick, Catherine Hemlock, and then we also have tackles. Holly Stevens has had 90 tackles. Lane Anenson has had 76 tackles. Simone Shepherd has 49. Sherry Dyke, again with the Warriors, had 66. I always know the Warrior players because they got those funky names. And then Jennifer Pureg has 52. So we've got quite a few players that have racked up a lot of tackles. And yards returned. Amber Moffa-White leads that. She's got 277 yards off of interceptions, followed by Kelly Jordan. And Kelly has 147 yards returned on interceptions. Let me see if I can get that statistic up here so I can tell you which teams these girls play for. 90 tackles is quite a few. That's Holly Stevens. And Holly plays for, she played for the Mayhem. Who did she play for? No, she plays for the Crush. Okay. And then second for total tackles was Lane Anderson. And Lane plays for the Tribe. So we've got some good, strong defensive players for the Tribe. They've got Rusty Sowers and then Anderson. I believe that Mindy White has quite a few tackles as well, but that doesn't seem to be up here on the leaderboard. I guess they totally base it on interceptions. So if you haven't gotten any interceptions, you're not going to be up there. I don't know if they cross-referenced it for tackles. There we go. Yeah. Mindy White has 91 tackles, so she's leading the league with tackles. And then we've got Holly Stevens with 90, Priscilla Gardner. Holly Stevens, I told you, she plays, I believe, for the Crush. Priscilla Gardner has 86 tackles. Priscilla is a breaker player. And then Cindy Drawn has 84. She plays for the Queens. And Robin Taylor has 80 tackles. I believe she's a siren. And so we've got quite a few players that are racking up the tackles. Now let me see if I can tell you who's got the most tackles for a loss or how many yards. Shanna Macron, she has 30 tackles, but she plays for the Majestics, and she has caused 285 total yards of lost because of her tackles. We talked about Catherine Hemlock, 261 yards. She plays for the Divas. And then 237 yards, Rachel Gore has caused opponents. And that's, again, for the Majestics. And then Vicky Lucas, she's caused 200 yards. She, again, plays for the Divas. So we've got some really strong defensive-minded teams in the league. And of course, facing that dilemma are the people who are trying to get the yards. So let's see who's been racking up the yards. Now, the quarterback position, passing leaders, you got Jenny Smith again for the Tribe, and she has accumulated 2,590 yards. Her top receiver is Rusty Sowers. Karen Mulligan, I believe Karen Mulligan plays for the Sharks, but let me double-check that before I speak incorrectly. And she And I believe that the total yard, yeah, she's got 1,576 yards. And let me double check and see which team she's playing for. Yeah, she plays for the Sharks. Laura Cantu, she's got 1,115 yards. She plays for the Houston Energy. Sammy Grisafi has 876 yards. She plays for the Chicago Force. Percentage-wise, pretty much goes in that order, although the top percentage is Val Halesworth, who plays for the Nemesis, and she has a 62% rating. They don't actually give them a rating here in this particular league, but she's got a 62% accuracy rate. So leading as far as average of yards is, again, Jenny Schmidt. Receiving leaders, I mentioned Rusty Sowers of the Tribe. She has 745 yards, and she averages 67 yards a game. I'm not sure how much she averages per catch. She's had 8 touchdowns. And then we go to Tracy Adams. Let me see. Tracy plays for the – let me look that up. See if I can get that in here. But she's got a total of 508 yards catches, and she averages 72 yards per game. Now, let me see. Now, Rusty Sowers averages 93 yards a game. That, I don't know what that average is. I don't know if that's, I guess it's averages per catch. I had a little discussion. Okay, Tracy Adams plays for the Maniacs. I had a discussion with Mindy White about Rusty's average per catch, and I'm not sure how they figure that. I'm not sure. I'm just going to leave that one alone. Patricia Harper, she has 439 yards, but she's averaging 62 yards a game. So I guess they're putting this in order of averages. No, I don't know how they're doing it. I guess attempts. I don't know. But Harper plays for the Force. In second place, as far as actual yardage, is Tegan Stewart. And I believe that Tegan also plays for the Tribe, but I'm not sure. Let me look. Yeah, she plays for the Tribe, so she's got 700 yards. So just those two receivers alone for the Tribe average or have accumulated 1,400 yards. But then, of course, we've still got another, 1,000 to be – 1,000 to attributed to someone, because Jenny Schmidt's up over – well over 2,400. So Robin Little and let's see, Robin Little's right after Tracy Adams as far as yardage for catches. We've got Brittany Fisher. Brittany Fisher, again, is a Tribe player. Let me see if I can pull her up and verify that. But she's caught 561 yards. And yeah, she plays for the Tribe. So when you've got that strong of an arm in the quarterback position, you've got a lot of players with a lot of catches. Nikki Heron, she's, I don't believe she plays for the Tribe. She's a Queens player, so that's the Carolina Queens. And she has 477 yards. So total over 400, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, almost 10 players over 400-yard mark. So quite a few players. Now let's transition into rushing leaders. Steph Samuelson. No, I'm sorry. Jerika Henson is leading that statistic. She has accumulated, let me see, a total of 1,551 yards. And she is averaging 221 yards a game, I believe. And so she is just a running machine. Now, Jessica, where is Jessica? There she is. Oh, it's Jerika. She plays for the Queens. And in second place as far as rushing, we have Steph Samuelson. Steph plays for the Intensity, and she has almost 1,000 yards, just under 1,000 yards. She's got 187. And then in third place, we have Jessica Lemieux. She plays for the Monsoon. 700 yards, we've got a few. Zamora Diaz, she has racked up quite a few. 747, she plays for the Nemesis. Vanessa Santillini, Santillian, I guess it maybe. She has almost 800, 793. Jenny Ann Kwan, a dynamic fullback for the Sirens. Watched her play. She is just dynamic. She has 767 yards. Akima Pickett has 709 yards. She's a DC Diva player. And then let's see if we got any others over seven. No. Then we go to Brandy Polinick. She plays for the Illusion. And Brandy has 617 yards on the season. As far as touchdown leaders, that would be Jessica Lavinia. I can't hardly say her name. I'm probably making it up. She has 15 touchdowns on the season. As far as 40-plus runs, that's Jerika Henson, and she has 9 runs that are over 40 yards. Over 20-yard leader is also Jerika, and she's had 13 20-plus yard runs. So we are... You know what? I think I'm wrong. She's had the most touchdowns, too. She had 17 touchdowns. I was wrong about that. So, anyway, statistics-wise, we have quite a few players that have really turned it on as far as statistics. But it seems to me like some of the statistical leaders are missing from the All-Star game. I'll probably have to go into that a little bit more when we get a little closer to the actual playoff games. I'll probably talk about that considerably. I got to look at it a little bit more before I give you my full 2 cents. But going into the playoffs, IWFL, they start their playoff games next week. And again, we've got some great games coming up for the WFA this week. Top of that, one of the better games is probably going to be the New Jersey Titans, the Baltimore Burn, and then we're also looking at maybe that Jacksonville Dixie Blues and the Memphis Belle. So here's my saying: go to a game, take some friends, promote women's football, do as much as you can, sponsor a player. Thank you so much for listening, and I'm going to cut the show short just a little bit this week. I do not have a guest star, and I don't want to ramble on incessantly, so we'll get a guest star on next week. I'm going to see if I can get one of the Amazons or possibly one of the Force players. I'd love to speak to Sammy Grisafi, but we'll see if that can happen. Mutual friends might make it happen, but we'll see. So anyway, go see a game. Thank you so much, BJ, for promoting women's football. That's Women's Football Talk. Women's Football Talk continued. This has been Deb Gintz coming to you from sunny Southern California, Long Beach, California, to be exact. This is Friday Night Football Preview, and go see some women's football. Have a good night.